Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Action at Kroger.
It's 6 p.m. in Memphis, and it's time for The 6 on 92.9 FM ESPN with the Jason and John Show.
Mark Giannotto is, of course, a columnist over at the Commercial Appeal. You can hear him every afternoon from 2 to 4 on Giannotto and Jeffrey. He's in studio now. Okay, so, Mark, we have a lot to get to with you today. Let's start with Topgolf. Have you done Topgolf, and can you help Jason understand?
I've played.
I feel like you've done it.
I've played Topgolf.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple in when I was in the D.C. area, there were a couple of them out there.
Do you swear by it like John does?
I don't know if I swear by it. It's a great night out with your friends. Like, it's something to do, like, with couples, with, I feel like an infomercial, with couples, with friends.
Yeah,
like,
both of y'all do.
Well, you know,
it's true.
Because you can, I mean, honestly, you can get drunk and still be good at it.
Absolutely.
What are you talking about? I thought you said wholesome, bro.
Well, it can be wholesome if you would like
it to
be.
Not like at night, but no, like, so it's during the day, you can take the family. But like, I'm talking, like, you can go there. It's usually, they're usually open to like, midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and, like, you go. It's like,
all right,
it's almost like, you know.
It's not happy hour.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. It's like anything else. I mean, you can take CJ to lunch at Brookhaven, you know, but, you know, you wouldn't want to take him to you know, at 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at
and
night.
And it's fun. It's like, you don't have to be good at golf. Like, you know, literally, you can be awful at golf or have never played golf.
He's proven that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's
still,
a lot of
still
fun.
Enjoy.
It's a lot. It's like bowl. I equate it to like bowling.
It is like bowling. It's like bowling with golf.
I'm on board. I don't want to sound like a hater here. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Where the love, especially for the non-golfer.
And
like,
it's an affordable way
it is.
To do golf.
It really is.
What are we talking like roundabout for a nice little, I want to hit it for an hour.
You run it by the hour. Okay. So it's like 30-something an hour.
Not too bad.
Maybe.
Not going to break me.
No.
It's like 30-something.
It's a good night. It would be, it's a good, you can do it with your family, but it's a good night out thing.
Right.
It's just like a good thing to do out and about.
Oh, let me ask you this. Is Tiger Woods coming? You've been writing about it. What's your gut say today?
I was just talking about this with someone before I came here.
Have you talked to Bob Herrick today?
Not today.
Okay.
Not today. He's over in Royal Portrush. So, he's my link to Tiger.
Will he pack bags for Memphis, Herrick? Will he be coming to cover Tiger?
In your
column, he's not coming.
He's not coming if Tiger's not here.
Oh, well, wow. So thanks a lot, Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, he made it clear from the jump.
He made it clear from the jump. He's like, I'm going home if he's not coming. So here's the thing. I thought, my gut told me yesterday after hearing his press conference.
Right. What did you think after that?
That if he made it through his practice round today healthy, he'd announce and say he's coming here. Here's the problem. His practice round got rained out today. He didn't play today. So now I think it's going to go till Friday. Like, it's going to be how he feels after this first round tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he already made it clear in that press conference. There were two things that were said that were really notable to me. One that seemed to play in Memphis's favor and one that played against it. The one against it is, he's not really happy about his game right now.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't played much, and he basically said, he's like, I'm not the same guy I was at the Masters right now. I don't have my game. And that struck me as like, well, you know, is he really – I mean, you could, if you're a glass-half-full guy, you could say, well, maybe now he wants to play consecutive weeks to get his game back. But the thing that stood out to me more than anything was when he was asked about his schedule, and he was talking about how he played all these events last year to make it – to qualify for these events, these WGC events. Why would you go to all that trouble and then not come?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think Bob said the bottom line was he thinks Tiger wants to play in this event. It's just at this point in his career, it's all about how his body's feeling.
Right.
And so if he's feeling okay after Thursday, I think he'll be here. My gut still tells me we're going to get Tiger Woods.
Now, you also.
And the folks at the tournament, not to interrupt you, John, but they feel good. I heard you talking
about
it.
So, we're going to have Daryl Smith on the show on Gino and Jeffrey later today. And so, we'll talk to him.
Okay.
I mean, I think, honestly, they're in the dark. Like, you know, Tiger walks to his own
beat. I mean,
Tiger's the only
one who knows whether Tiger's going to play in the event.
Him and probably his agent, Mark Steinberg. Like Daryl Smith was watching that press conference at 5, woke up at 5 a.m. to watch that press conference yesterday. Because he wanted to see if Tiger was going to announce if he's coming or not.
Right. Exactly.
So I think they're in the dark. I think they're prepared as if he's coming.
Right.
I've heard rumors that, you know, after that column came out, I got some emails that I think Tiger has rented a house in Southwind.
It would have to have been done already.
I think he's rented a house in Southwind. But as Bob Herrick told me, my go-to guy said,
That's what he does.
Like he's done this before, where he's got plenty of money where he can rent a house and just not use it.
Exactly.
John says he's repainting stuff.
That's what someone told me in an email. I don't know. I can't verify this or not. But that he like rents
smoke. Too much.
That he rents a house for a month, and what he does is over that month, like he takes all the furniture out.
That I get.
And puts his own stuff in, and then after the tournament, they redo. They put the house back to normal.
That's amazing.
I had heard that before, but someone actually sent me an email saying
he could fix your leaky roof.
He could. he could definitely.
Maybe he wants to rent. I don't know if it's close enough to the golf course.
It's not. It really isn't. It's about 12
and,
minutes.
And
away.
I think he demand. You don't have a pool either, right?
No.
Yeah, I think
no,
he
no,
wants.
Man,
no,
ain't got a big green egg back there.
I do have a big green egg, and I have a doggy door.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think about the amenities that I can provide
at home.
Yeah, got nice backsplash. I mean, the cabinets look good.
Do you have a doggy pool, maybe?
Yeah, I do, actually. We have a doggy pool. So, he could get his feet wet. I don't know. I don't mean to be that guy, but how does it change the tenor of the event if Tiger's not in it?
Well, it's funny. So, Rory McIlroy.
I mean, Rory
announced he's coming in. So, now all the top four golfers in the world are going to be here.
Right.
It's huge. I do think, though, right now, it is very clearly, whether Tiger comes, the biggest golf event Memphis has ever seen.
By far.
No doubt about it. And even without Tiger, I think it ranks up there with, it's like the equivalent of when we had the Sweet 16 Elite Eight here. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
But if Tiger comes here, it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest event Memphis has ever seen, just because he's never been here before.
Yeah.
And so I do think it changes. I mean, it's just like in anything golf, like the events Tiger plays in are just different than the events he doesn't play in. I mean, I've been to events where Tiger's played in, and it's just, and I've been to events where he hasn't played, and it is absolutely unbelievable the amount of crowds he draws. Like the past couple years when I've been here and like Phil draws these pretty big crowds, mm-hmm. pretty big galleries here at the FedEx St. Jude Classic. I mean, imagine that times four.
No
it's
doubt.
Like unbelievable when like Tiger is at an event, people, and it's amazing when you're there standing on the course or standing inside the ropes and you look around at how many people are watching him. It is, I mean, maybe he's used to it at this point, but it is amazing how awesome he has been over his career with this much attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel bad for his playing, when he gets, usually they're nice and put like experienced guys with him. But when he's with some young guy or someone who's not used to it or like in the final rounds when they, you've seen guys just mm-hmm. wilt under that sort of spotlight.
Yeah.
And as far as we know, at least from reading you, conditions wise, this is better for him, right? The Memphis quote heat.
Yes.
Now, it looked like we'd have a little bit of a break in it than usual for a Memphis July. I saw next week it's low 80s, mid 80s, that kind of thing. But this would actually be good. He prefers this for that body, right?
Since he's come back, if you look at his results, he's played better.
This is when
in hot weather because of his back and his body. It's better for him in hot weather. I think I'm holding out hope until it doesn't happen. I think he's going to come. I think it's a good thing that, one, the PGA is putting pressure on these guys to come
mm-hmm.
because of the FedEx relationship. I think if it was another sponsor involved, it'd be easier to say no. But because it's FedEx and because they sponsor
this
the entire tour.
To make it huge.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, like, this was part of their condition for re-upping their sponsorship was we want a big event to Memphis. And I think
it's already that.
Yes.
Give them the credit for that.
Yes.
It's already a big event.
Well, like I said a couple weeks ago on here, like my question is, I just hope they can move this event so that, like, if this was a week from now mm-hmm. instead of this week, I don't think there'd be any question Tiger would be coming.
Yeah.
And I know this is the first year with a new schedule, but it feels like they need to make some adjustments. There's no reason a WGC event should be the week after a major. It feels like there should be
a little bit of a break in between. Yeah.
It's a lot. You're asking a lot of these guys. I know they fly private and whatever, but like, you know, they're going to be playing in Northern Ireland. Luckily, there's the time change in that they'll be, you know, they'll basically be done probably around noon on Sunday, and they're, you know, they're going to then have to turn around and come to Memphis.
Yeah. Speaking of no reason, why in the world are the AAC still doing its football media days up in the Northeast where God knows we can't get up to it? And it would make no sense to. I was looking at you, and you're defending the paper this morning on Twitter. I think rightfully, look, I mean, I was there, folks getting laid off left and right beside me. To act like there's no, you know.
Well, like, the thing that gets me upset is, like, they're like, you know, like, we didn't go to every Grizzlies game this year. And, like, frankly, I'd rather go to more Grizzlies games than go to AAC football media day.
Right.
Especially when the access, and people are using this against us. Like, Mike Norvell gives fantastic access.
Yes, he's one of the best.
Like, we don't need to go all the way up there to talk to him. We get to talk to him all the time down here. And I'd love it in a perfect world.
Where you have the money, you send up two reporters, two cameras, and do it all.
Right, and we can cover the whole league and whatever. But, like, when we've done AAC coverage not related to Memphis football, and even, frankly, not related to Memphis basketball, there's just not a lot of traction for it here in the market. People here in Memphis care about Memphis. And if it's a big game, if they're playing UCF in football or if it's related to conference realignment, those are the only two. Like, when you're playing a big game, people care about the opponent. But, like, in terms of the league-wide outlook, there are some – I'm not saying no one cares about it. I'm just saying not enough people care about it to justify spending all that money to go up there. Now, in terms of Newport, Rhode Island, I totally agree with you. I don't understand why it's up there. But so Chuck Sullivan, who's the head sort of SID for AAC football, he tweeted about this. Kelly Hines, the Tulsa reporter, was talking about this. It sounds like the bowl representatives and their sponsors love it up in Newport, Rhode Island. And so that's why they do it.
Yeah.
But he acknowledged they are thinking about changing it because very few of the established media, like I think the Houston Chronicle's up there, but that's because it's not because they want to cover the whole league. It's because if you go look, Dana Holgorsen has talked very little since he got the job. And so this is their chance to get around him and get him on the record.
Get some stories.
And the UConn media is up there, obviously, because it's close. They can drive.
Yeah.
And I think the Orlando Sentinel is up there as well. And I think that's a reflection of, you know, UCF.
Where UCF is.
You know, where, you know, they're being undefeated.
Yeah.
But I hope they move it to, like, to me, it makes a ton of sense to just move it to Dallas. Just like they're going to move the headquarters.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
Dallas Central, is reachable.
Seems like the next
step. Only school that isn't really close to that is Temple, basically, maybe Cincinnati.
Basketball's down there in the next 3 years. Is that right?
Two years in Fort Worth.
That's it.
Yeah. And we'll see how that goes. That's a brand new arena. But they're eventually moving their headquarters down there to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would seem to me that would make a lot of sense just to move the media day there as well.
Yeah. We are, of course, talking to Mark Giannotti. You can hear him every afternoon, 2 to 4, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. You have an interesting column up at commercialpeople.com about the AAU and specifically Team Thad sort of presence in Memphis and just sort of the universe here now that Penny is gone from AAU basketball. You come from D.C., which obviously has a very, you know, healthy AAU scene as well. How would you compare Memphis to the DMV as it relates to the AAU scene?
Yeah, it is interesting. So, like, last year, if you go by, you know, we're talking about how Team Thad became the first Tennessee program to win a 17-and-under shoe circuit championship. Last year, a D.C. team won both the Under Armour circuit and the EYBL.
Good grief.
And so
I didn't realize that
is the difference. And for instance, D.C. has two EYBL teams.
Yeah.
Team Durant and Team Takeover.
Yeah.
Right.
And they both made Peach Jam this year.
Whew. That's awesome.
So that is the difference. Like, the quality of player in the upper echelon is not, there's no real big difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sheer number of high major kids.
Exactly.
Just because D.C. is just a lot bigger. There's a lot more of them in D.C. Now, like, the best of the best in Memphis compared to the best of the best in D.C., I don't think there's a discernible difference.
Right, right.
And then in terms of just, I mean, the biggest difference, though, is I would say in D.C., I mean, it's a pro sports town. People aren't even – like Maryland and Georgetown sometimes have trouble getting attention there. And so – and if you go down to – while there is this – there's just as much a culture there as here in terms of youth basketball, it doesn't get the attention that it does here. And I would also say, like, some – you know, it's just been around longer. The guys who are running the D.C. stuff – have been around longer than the guys running some of the Memphis operations.
Right.
Like Keith Stevens, who runs Team Takeover, has been there. And then Damon Handen, who runs the Under Armour one, he was working under Curtis Malone, who's like one of the four runners of AAU basketball and is now in prison on felony drug charges. But I've loved it, though, coming here and getting – like I was talking to someone while I was down at Peach Jam in Atlanta. Like I've gotten the privilege of getting sort of immersed in two of probably the most unique basketball cultures in the entire
country. It has lined up that way.
And both Memphis and DC share the similarity of it feels like if you know people in Memphis, you can almost like know someone all over the country because Memphis is connected everywhere because of where the recruits end up and how many different recruits have been here. And it's the same in D.C. And it feels like if you know people in Memphis and you know people in D.C., you can know people all over the place.
Yeah.
And they're both similar in that way.
I'm interested in your take on this. Why is Herd good at what he does?
I think he's very... One, he's very relatable for the kids. Like being around him a lot the last week and really watching him with the kids. I don't necessarily agree with everything he does, but I see why he does it. His energy and just the way he talks like the kids. He's able to build bonds and relationships.
And get the most out of them.
Yes, because of that. It doesn't... Yeah. Well, yeah. Whereas when you're around other AAU programs, it feels more transactional. The kids are there just to get scholarship offers, and the coaches are there to get known. And I'd say that's the case with Team Thad, but there's another level to the relationship beyond that. Like, yes.
He's able to draw.
And I think that's why you see, like, I don't know if Herd emphasized this, like, he won that title. And they should have lost. They shouldn't have made it to the quarterfinals. They were down by 11 going into the fourth quarter. They were playing awful. It was like a Friday morning game at 9 a.m. And Morrell was playing terrible. And Herd benched him because he was playing terrible.
I heard you talk about this yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. And then they literally went and held this team without a field goal the entire fourth quarter.
When he's in here talking about defense, I told you wasn't just blowing smoke.
They led the circuit, and they won an AAU game 48-44.
Right.
It wasn't any talent. It wasn't any plays called. It was just will and toughness.
Yeah.
And you just don't see that. And that's, you know, I was talking to some college coaches about Herd, and I think that's what they love about, like to be quite honest, like if you just watch them run offense, like they're not running any complex sets or anything like that. Like, but it's how hard his kids work. And like, that's something you can't really teach. Right. And that's why, you know, like a college coach can teach these kids to run a good set. They can't teach you to be that dog.
Yeah.
And that's what Herd instills in these kids. Like I was talking to OG Anunoby was at one of the games.
I saw you had him in the story, yeah.
Yeah, he was at one of the games, and I go, like, it seems so simple that what he said, and it's, like, not sexy, but he goes, Herd taught me how to work hard. Like, that's really what it came down to. And it's why I think what he's doing, where a lot of times with this AAU stuff, it goes in cycles because, you know, you're reliant on getting the top kids, and over time, it's just hard to, unless you're Penny Hardaway with that huge name, it's hard to just consistently get
reload.
It really is
top 25, top all these top 25, top 50 guys. Because frankly, you know, a lot of them don't want to play with a lot of other top 25, top 50 guys on the AAU circuit because they want to be showcased. But Hurd isn't reliant on that, and that's why I think what he's built is it appears to be pretty sustainable because he hasn't gotten any of these top 20. He's never had a McDonald's All-American. He's never, you know, which is usually when these guys rise to the top, it's because they've gotten that star guy who's kind of carried them to the top. And he has his star guys, but they're not your typical star guys on the AAU circuit.
Like, well, I'm curious, though, because I want to point, and I know you can't be here all day with us, but you're nailing it, though, on Hurd. You said there's parts of his coaching that you don't agree with. I'm curious about which part.
Oh, I mean, he's like vulgar as hell.
Cursing and talking about pimps and all in
practice. Oh, yeah. No, he talks their language.
Exactly.
And that's like, there was, I can't even tell the story because it's not appropriate. And he told me I can't include it. But like, literally, he's talking to his kids and he turns to me and he goes, "You can't put that in there." Like,
I saw he told you. You can't quote me on everything I say, even though I'm going to say it. You can't put it in the paper.
Yes. And honestly, well, it was funny. The story he told, I go, "You're crazy if you think they'd even allow that story to make the paper. It's that, you know, like, whatever." But it's also, he's speaking their language.
That's what I'm saying.
It's relatable. And
is that wrong when you said you don't agree with it?
I just think I would do it differently, but I'm not Hurd.
Right.
And I didn't come from the upbringing he came from. I didn't come from the neighborhood he came from. I didn't come from the neighborhood the kids came from.
See, I think we're hitting on something that's actually a pretty interesting discussion. I used to watch Jermaine Johnson at Melrose curse Markel Crawford and Adonis Thomas sideways, man, up and down them to the point that it's almost like, dang, man, are those guys even going to be able to bounce back from that? But that was his way, and typically the way they responded the most was when he did that, they'd respond. You know what I mean? And so I'm with you. There's a little part of me. I'm a deacon now. I'm trying to cut down on my curse. I used to have a super foul mouth. But where it's, man, we see it's effective. Is it right or not? Well, if the players are looking at it and responding, then I got to think that something's working right. I know what you're saying, though, in terms of, are you saying that that's okay to talk like that kind of thing?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Like, they played this game against Team Sizzle, the team that they talked the trash to after
they said quit. Yeah.
And after the game, like, so that entire game, they have this big guy, Chet Holmgren, who Memphis is looking at, Team Sizzle. He's a 2021 recruit. And these Thad guys, it was almost like their lack of intimidation worked against him in that game because they just kept taking it to the hole, and Chet Holmgren kept blocking their shots. Like, and by the second half, they should have learned, like, we got to pull up. Yeah. You know, they should have, but they're Memphis kids and they're Thad kids, and they're not intimidated by anyone. And at the end of the game, Hurd was complaining about them not calling fouls.
It said in your story, said he had to be held back.
Oh, yeah. He, like, was, and I don't think he was
really.
He didn't
tell us about that yesterday, John.
I don't think he was really going to go fight the ref, but he was sticking up for his kids and whatever. But then what was amazing to me, he's going after the ref, and so he wanted his kids to see that he was defending them. And so he was, like, you know, yelling at the ref and whatever, and had to be held back. And then we get out in the hallway, and he almost, like, switches courses complete, and he goes, "What the heck are you guys doing going in there trying to get your – once you get blocked five times, don't you learn the sixth time that you shouldn't go?" Like, but it was a perfect example of him in that he was defending his kids, even though in his basketball mind, and he told them afterwards, like, we shouldn't have been driving in the hole and trying to, you know.
He knows they'll run through a brick wall for
him. Yeah.
Coming up next on The Six.
I really like what Zach Kleiman has been able to do, Rich Show has been able to do there, as far as you've torn it down, but not to the nuts and bolts, right? You kind of, you know who you are. You know that your two foundation pieces are Ja and you know, Jaren Jackson. And then you're able to add, you know, you bring back Valanciunas on a really good deal. And then you make some trades and you move some, you know, parts out, and you get Jay Crowder. You get, you know, certainly Iguodala. You get a first-round pick for Andre Iguodala. That could be a pretty good pick here. And you still have a baseline of what you want to do.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, Mid-South, this is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. It's summertime and the bugs are upon us. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. Or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com and find out why we have over 2,500 five-star ratings. And if you're looking for a career change, give us a call at 388-0852. If you've got a clean background, a good driving record, and looking to make a better living for yourself, give us a call.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your Guy Smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
J.J. Hottail here. As an ex-professional race car driver, I'm used to taking risks, which isn't always so good when it comes to driving off the track.
Uh-oh.
But that's why I'm insured by Direct Auto and Life Insurance. I can get a great rate regardless of my driving history. They understand that nobody's perfect. Hello, officer. Save up to 25% with discounts at Direct Auto. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today.
Direct General Group, Nashville. Rates vary. Discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Before you expanded into the building next door, before you shipped that 1,000th order, before you shipped that first order, before you took that leap of faith, you printed that new business pitch. Staples has everything your business needs to get you from here to there. From ink and printers to paper at great prices every day. And right now, when you buy one HP ink cartridge, get the second one 30% off. Staples, here we get you there.
N72019, restrictions may apply. See store associate or staples.com/ink savings for details.
Now, back to The Six with the Jason and John Show.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, he is Bobby Marks, Front Office Insider, or ESPN, and he joins us now. Bobby, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
So how are we supposed to celebrate the Summer League title? Like, is there, you know, is there, like, do we just do a parade, or do we kind of, like, just have, like, a cookout? Like, what's the best way to celebrate a Summer League championship?
Well, as I say, the offseason is always the honeymoon period, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the signings look great, the draft looks great, Summer League looks great, and then we get into the season and when really things matter. But no, I think certainly winning the Summer League is an accomplishment just because it's a grind. I mean, they're there. They've been there. You know, Memphis was there. Most every team was there since the early parts of July. You play, you know, 3 or 4 games. You've got to basically qualify to, you know, for this 18 mini tournament at the end. And so I think there's certainly an accomplishment there, especially when you have your new head coach coaching that group. Your rookies, certainly, I know Ja didn't play, but you know how Brandon, you know, Clark played. I think there's a lot of good value there. So yeah, I think the goal is always just to try to get better from day one, from when you got to Vegas, and also, you know, to have your new coaches or your new head coach kind of put his hands around these guys and figure out what he has going into next year. So yes, I think you'll get a nice trophy for it. But as you guys know, once we get going in, I guess late September, early October, that kind of that kind of goes out the window here.
Right, like it's kind of just it gets us through this summer. I think it's a nice sort of feather in the cap for this new front office that has, you know, obviously done a good job of tearing down the roster and sort of maneuvering since they've gotten in. But in terms of injecting meaning and trying to find significance in this, it's Brandon Clarke, right? I mean, with no job playing in the summer league for various reasons, it's the fact that Brandon Clarke was the tournament MVP. He was the championship game MVP. I mean, that's what you have to focus on, right, is the individual performances of the young guys.
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, especially where we had projected Brandon somewhere in that late lottery around 14. I know he slid to the early 20s, where he was, you know, where he was picked by the, you know, by the Grizzlies here, and probably his age played a role in it. You know, here's a kid who's 22 years old, and sometimes teams are more willing to go with an 18 or 19 year old, maybe that's a little more upside. But I think you saw Brandon probably more of the experience factor. You know, this is kind of who he is. This is what he's going to do. You know, he's going to play hard every night. You know, you saw he can play multiple positions here. But, yeah, for your other pick, you know, I know we talked a lot about Ja, but as far as what Brandon was able to do, I think you have to have a pretty good comfort level there.
What should we be feeling about Grayson Allen? Like, how much do you draw? We've said the same thing with Brandon Clarke, right? You love the positive that you saw, but you got to be a little bit reserved, obviously, because you're not going against guys that are all going to be in the NBA. With Grayson, did you expect him to be a little bit further along? How concerned should we be? How much should we draw from him? He did not shoot the ball well, got ejected from a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially for a player that was in, you know, it wasn't like he was a one and done and it's going to take a little bit of time. He's more seasoned
right.
than, you know, these other rookies or even these players that are 1 year in the league here. And I think, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too caught up in
I'm with you.
In summer league. Yep. I've seen the good and the bad and the ugly. But yeah, I mean, I think especially in a more of a position of need, I mean, Grayson is going to have an opportunity there. I mean, really, is as far as where they are at the two guard, that position is wide open, you know, different than the other four positions where I think you've kind of can pencil in maybe who the starters or who that next guy off the bench is going to be. So, yeah, I think you probably would have liked to have seen a little bit more, you know, from Grayson. As you mentioned, he did not shoot the ball. I think you saw in that one game his frustration level kind of reverted back to his Duke days here. So,
yep.
I don't know about overly concerned, but, I would want more from him. You know, and I think it's something to watch when we get into training camp and when we start playing some of these preseason games.
I know it's early, Bobby, and the judgment will be made later. But do you like the early moves of Zach Lyman?
I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And I think when they got hired, or I think when the front office was let go, and I'll stick by my assessment of how it was. You know, I said it was kind of junior hour, comedy hour, as far as the process, and I'll stick by that because I believe it was. You know, as far as how Chris Wallace was let go and JB was let go on the day of. You know, the exit interviews here, but I really like what the group has been able, what Zach Lyman has been able to do, Rich Show has been able to do there, as far as you've torn it down, but not to the nuts and bolts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know who you are. You know that your two foundation pieces are Ja and Jaren Jackson. And then you're able to add, you know, you bring back Valanciunas on a really good deal. And then you make some trades and you move some, you know, we move some parts out and you get Jay Crowder. You get, you know, certainly Iguodala. You get a first round pick for Andre Iguodala. That could be a pretty good pick here.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have a baseline of what you want to do. You know, you went out and got Tyus Jones to an offer sheet and you have him there. And is it a playoff team? Probably not. But I think there's some building blocks that you can kind of, you know, continue to develop and kind of retool on the fly. And it gives you a lot of flexibility for next summer.
Mm-hmm.
We are, of course, talking to Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN. So every superstar now has a new team. I think that's a great thing for the NBA, obviously. When you survey all of the changes and all of the trades and switches in free agency, which fit do you like the best? Obviously, you know, Russell Westbrook is now in Houston there. Kawhi and Paul George have teamed up with the Clippers. Anthony Davis and LeBron. Like, is there a fit you like more so than another?
Well, I mean, I think if Durant was healthy, it would probably be the Kyrie KD fit, and we're going to have to wait probably a year to figure out where that is going to be. But I think what the Clippers have with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, would you have two players that can play multiple positions that are all NBA defense? I think that are that don't need the ball all the time, that can kind of play off each other. I think that's I like that fit I think it'll be interesting when Paul comes back. You know, remember, he's coming off that shoulder surgery here, so will he be ready when we get going for the start of the season here? But you're right. I mean, we went through a – I don't think we'll ever go through an offseason. Oh, maybe in 2021, but maybe not next year. But we'll go through an offseason of change and guys picking teammates, guys signing up with other players here, multiple teams, not just one here. And it'll probably be a little bit different, probably a little more stagnant next summer here. But, yeah, I mean, you go through every team, and I think the league's in this probably as good as a shape as it's ever been right now, just from a parity standpoint.
Yep.
That we've gone the last 5 years with probably Golden State, right? We've always – we can pencil in Golden State into it, went to an NBA Finals here, but now – I mean, this thing is wide open here. When you look at deep the West is, the Eastern Conference is certainly wide open here. Golden State is probably going to have to take a back seat for a year. And then you can make the argument that any team could probably, you know, there's probably 8 or 9 teams that could potentially win it right now.
Bobby, if this were anybody but Kawhi, would we be killing them for leaving so much money on the table? Or should we be admiring him in the way that he sort of just does his own thing and doesn't worry about what we think or how much money we think he's leaving on it? Where do you come down on it?
It's his money, right?
That's true.
I mean, it's not my money. It's not yours.
But it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Man.
You know, hopefully he'll be able to recoup some of that, you know, 3 years from now. And I've always been, you know, probably passive when it comes to these guys. And I think probably what happened is that, you know, with Durant this summer and certainly with Clay, two guys, one coming off an Achilles, one coming off an ACL, and mm-hmm. they were both still able to get $160 and $190 million deals. That for Kawhi, hopefully that payday will be there 2 or 3 years from now.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, he's left, you know, from San Antonio to Toronto to now with the Clippers here. And I think that's kind of, you know, maybe where we've, in the league will probably admit it, where they maybe missed the mark a little bit as far as the financial incentive to stay where your own team is not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, to stay an extra year for 5 years or the Supermax contract that guys can make, you know, $30-40 million more. It's just not there that these guys are want to go win. They want to team up with other players. They yeah. want to be in a, maybe some players want to be in a certain market. And we'll see what happens when that next CBA kind of rolls in, because you're seeing the impact on some of these mid-market teams right now.
I was reading a piece about the Rockets, and it sounded like in that piece that the Rockets envision using Russell Westbrook sort of the same way that they use Chris Paul with James Harden. Can you do that? Are there different ways to unlock? Like, what do you sort of envision in Houston with those two together?
Yeah, I think Chris is more of a pure point guard, you know, mm-hmm. probably more of a throwback guard. I think Russ is, you know, certainly a scoring guard, a player that's kind of looking for his own. It's funny, you know, that an organization that's been so analytically built or driven, you know, Westbrook does not fit that, I mean, at
right.
all. I mean, he does not fit the mold.
Exactly.
And so I think that's going to be the fascinating part there. But you get a player that's 4 years younger. Yes, you get another year left. You know, certainly in all NBA, he's been, you know, relatively healthy here in his career here. So I understand why, you know, especially how Darryl has kind of moved pieces around that there, you know, you get 2 years and then we're looking for a little bit of a change. But yeah, I'm not sure yet as far as how that fit, but I think the one thing, the saving grace is that they did play together, you know, in Oklahoma City at
right.
one point in their career. So there already is a familiarity. They do like each other here, but I think it is going to be pretty fascinating when we watch this group. You know, get going here.
And then I want to ask you, Bobby, I've seen this on your Twitter account, and I've been meaning to ask you about it, but how did a former college football player get into an NBA front office? Because, like, that just yeah. seems like that has never happened before. How did that happen?
You know what happened? That former college football player forgot to go to classes in college. That's what happened. And I needed credits to graduate. And when I was short 6 credits, I wound up getting pretty fortunate to get an internship with the Nets in 1995 to get my 6 credits to graduate, and then wind up staying on another 4 months after I couldn't get a job working in basketball ops when things were really different then in the late 90s, when, you know, the department was probably 10 to 15 people, and we had 2 assistant coaches, a general manager, and 2 scouts, and we didn't have a sports science department that had 20 people deep in here. So that's kind of how I got my foot in the door and kind of worked my way up the food chain. I would say it's a lot different than kind of how it is now.
I saw you at Summer League poking around, and I seen you, that you're back home. You've been in the hotel for last month, 2 months. What does Bobby Marks do to unwind? It's time.
You know, it's hard, guys. I'm telling you, man. It's like, you know, I was on the road for, I think, 42 out of 49 nights since Memorial Day.
Good grief.
Yeah, I mean, it was living in a hotel and being in Vegas and Bristol and all over the place here, LA, it's hard to unwind from the grind of going, starting at 6 a.m. and ending at 1 a.m. to actually come home and try to have a conversation with your wife and kids. I mean, I'm real serious about that.
I believe it.
You start to kind of, maybe instead of putting in 12-hour days, you start to peel back, and I'm still busy and stuff. But yeah, it was hard, guys, when I go back, you know, my kids go back to school, my wife goes back to work, and in a couple weeks here when school starts, it's kind of like, what do you do? I don't have that many hobbies. I guess I'm going to have to find a hobby.
Well, the good news is, like, the NBA season starts in, like, 2 weeks. So, like, you'll just have more NBA to watch. Bobby, we appreciate the time, as always, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yep. He is Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN. 42 of 49 nights that man has been on the road.
Yeah, he does the Doubletree.
Yeah.
He does the cookies.
Yeah, the cookies.
Yeah, the fantastic warm chocolate chip cookies.
I did not realize you knew. How did you know where he stayed?
He's tweeted about it. He's tweeted about it before, how many Doubletree cookies that he had. Have you ever had one of those warm Doubletree cookies?
No.
Oh, it'll change your life. Change your life.
Doubletree cookies.
Oh, yeah. And they give them to you free coming out. You have them for breakfast.
Okay.
They're fantastic.
All right, well,
have to know what I'm talking about, chocolate chip.
I will keep that in mind.
Coming up next on The Six.
So I think that as of today, assuming Jalen Green goes to college, I think they get Jalen Green.
Woo!
He's a big guard. I think they get Greg Brown.
Woo!
Who's a top 10.
I got to stop making that noise. I sound like an idiot.
Top 10 forward in the country.
He's a rebounding, dunking machine.
I mean, I think they get Chris Moore.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN. A new era in Memphis basketball with Penny Hardaway.
University of Memphis.
The Grizzlies Western Conference Finals.
Believe Memphis, the Memphis Grizzlies are going to the Western Conference Finals.
Now ushering in a new era of youth and grind. Mike Norvell and Tiger football. The SEC and college football. Memphis 901 FC. The Redbirds. A world golf championship. Celebrating a decade as the number one voice in Memphis sports. This is Memphis's 92.9 FM ESPN.
There's nothing more simple and delicious than a burger done right. Brett Clark here, operating partner at Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. At the bar in Fleming's Prime Steakhouse, we serve a delicious half-pound prime bacon cheeseburger, and nothing makes me happier than seeing a guest smile after taking that first bite. Want to make that burger taste even better? Pair it with an applewood smoked old-fashioned and try a flaming molten lava cake for dessert. And every day during happy hour from 5 to 7, that same burger is only $10. Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. We use food and wine to create memorable times.
Foundation damage, cracked floors, bowing walls. Foundation problems have so many terrible effects. Time to utilize a single terrific solution, Redeemers Group. They offer innovative products, preeminent experience, and warrantied work that's transferable. Redeemers Group can waterproof your home, stopping the leaks that start the nightmares. Visit RedeemersGroup.com today for a free estimate. No two foundation problems are alike, but there's one company that can handle them all. Redeemers Group. Call 901-390-9448 or click RedeemersGroup.com.
Memphis's hometown event is being elevated to one of the biggest events on golf's calendar. The World Golf Championships FedEx St. Jude Invitational makes its debut at TPC Southwind, July 24th through 28th. Don't miss PGA Tour superstars Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, and more.
Join me, Dustin Johnson, when I return to TPC Southwind. Tickets are on sale at WGCFedEx.com.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
What do you call a truly great beer that's brewed with more taste? Only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs? We call it Miller Lite. What are you holding? Miller Lite. Hold true. Great beer, great responsibility. 2018 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, less than 1 gram protein and 0 grams fat.
Now, back to The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show.
John Martin joins me now. John.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. So the question was, where should John Morant eat before he raids Area 51? Is that the question?
No.
Oh.
You're interested in the Area 51 thing?
Not really. I think it's silly.
But it's meant to be silly.
I do think you guys should stop uploading your faces, though, to that app because it's owned by Russians.
Which app? The old face app?
Yeah.
What do you think of the old face app? Why do you want to know what you look like? Yeah, I'll tell you what.
It's too accurate.
I'm already old. Like, what do you mean?
Well, for sure.
For me, it's going to look like a sketch. What are you going to look like in 30 or 30 years?
There's a young filter.
You're going to look like, I know what I look like.
And if
I put in what am I going to look in old, it'll just have a skeleton.
Well, it'll be a
picture of a coffin. Yeah, a picture of a coffin. What's good about that?
Here lies Jeff, and it'd be like an onomatopoeia, you know?
Here lies Jeff. Yes, exactly right. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that thing. And it's owned by Russians anyway.
Yeah, so
basically, they're taking everybody's face and they're uploading it, and they're going to...
Who knows what they're going to do?
They're going to wait. Pretty soon, everything is going to be face recognition.
Yes.
And they will have your face.
They will have your face.
And they'll be able to use your face for whatever purposes they want to use your face.
And you don't want that.
I know. Who wants that?
So stop doing that.
We have a poll up, John.
Read the terms and conditions.
The poll is where people are already mad. They're mad. The poll is where should you eat? Where
people
should John Morant after eat at? Well, they're mad by some of our choices. I apologize in advance. There's only four spots. It's like college football playoff.
Right.
And Alex's Tavern is Central Florida in this prediction. In this.
Well,
now I'm a little sad that we left off Blue City because it's right there on Beale Street.
On Beale, yeah.
We maybe should have included it. Here's what would he include, Jeffrey. Where should John Morant? He set out a call for help last night at 10:19. Where should he eat after 10 p.m.? Our choices were
Huey's, The Half Shell, Dixie Queen, and Bar Dog.
Okay. Where are the best chicken fingers, John, of those four? You'd go Brookhaven, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say, of those four,
he would say the Blue Monkey.
Of those four, where would you eat?
And then
where would you have included other than?
Let's just kind of take my, you know, radio man sponsorship. Beholden to opportunity, you know what I mean? Like, let's take that hat off, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just telling you, like, the chicken tenders at Brookhaven are unbelievable. They are unbelievable. Like, I mean, and they're so, people don't necessarily know about them because it's like, oh, it's just chicken tenders at a bar, right? Like, it's just a standard pub staple.
Right.
But I'm just telling you, they're not. Like, there's nothing standard about, I don't know what they put in them. I don't know what kind of seasoning they have. But it is, you can do it the buffalo sauce, you can do them, I don't give a damn what you do. They are unbelievable. They are the best in Memphis.
Really?
Chicken tender speaking.
Chicken tender, just from a chicken tender category, and that is your specialty.
I'm not talking about wings, I'm talking about chicken tender.
That's your specialty. No, you're not talking about wings.
They're very different.
Wings, you'd go to the Wing Guru.
That's exactly right.
And honestly, the burger's underrated at the Wing Guru.
Yes, it is. But if you're asking me, like, if John Moran's like, all right, man, I'm really hungry, I want some chicken tenders,
you'd say Brookhaven.
You're going to have to go to East Memphis.
Of our four choices, who are you voting for?
Say them again.
Huey's, The Half Shell, Dixie Queen, and Bar Dog.
I've never had Bar Dog food. I've never found myself eating there.
You've had consumed alcohol there before?
Of course.
Okay.
So I can't really, I can't weigh in on the food at Bar Dog.
Okay.
Usually just go there to drink. Half Shell, not my thing.
No, you've never been to Half Shell, have you?
I think I actually have been to a Half Shell, and then I looked at the menu left.
I've never been to Dixie Queen. Someone sent me a map. They're everywhere. There's basically 73 Dixie Queens.
I think the list is absolute trash. I think the list is trash.
What would your list have been?
Everyone's a critic.
Well, I think you have to just go with, like, you know, I think Alex's Tavern has to absolutely be on there.
Because, okay.
Like, that's the where
quintessential.
They're open super late. Like, that's where everybody goes.
It's really good, too. It is good. Okay, so
I had no problem with Huey's. Like, I think Huey's is definitely.
You would have put Huey's on there, Alex's Tavern, you would put on there.
I think Huey's, and I heard you guys saying
Blue City, you would put on there?
That's fine. I mean, you can put Blue City on there. I mean,
Where else would you put on there? This is not as easy. Everyone's a critic, but then they ask to do it themselves.
Because you've narrowed it down to four. I mean, that's the...
It's a problem.
I have to pick four, but I think you guys' four is kind of random. Half Shell and Bar Dog, I don't think of as like... I mean, of course, Bar Dog, because it's just late night, but there are a lot of choices you could have gone with.
Oh, that's great. A lot of choices, but ours are wrong. You don't have your own. You're so...
I gave you Brookhaven.
You gave me one.
I gave you Brookhaven. I eat late there all the time. Like, I eat there late all the
time. All right, before I get to other matters, I called you yesterday, and I was distraught. What I didn't understand was this. Sam was mad because there was a mouse in your yard.
Yes.
The mouse wasn't in the house.
Right.
The mouse was in the yard.
Correct.
There was a dead mouse in the yard.
Yes.
What is, with all due respect, what is upsetting about having a dead mouse in the yard?
Well, there's a story here. So there's a story. I was grilling on the Big Green Egg like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
We've got two dogs. We've got a big dog and we've got a small dog. Okay. Right. Big dog's real dumb and goofy.
One of these stupid-ass doodles.
Exactly. Right. And so I'm in the backyard grilling whatever, cooking some burgers, and the dogs start barking. They're right behind me. They start barking. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I really kind of ignore it because they bark all the time constantly. But then I hear a squeak. I'm like, did Sam give – Sam's very particular about giving Tony toys because he tends to tear them apart and, like, whatever, right. Eat plastic. So I'm like, did Sam give Tony a toy?
A squeak toy.
And I turn around, and they're playing Monkey in the Middle with a rat. So they're like tossing the rat back and forth.
It's a rat.
It's not a mouse, dude. It's a rat. Like, that thing was massive. I think it was like 3 or 4 pounds it looked like, man. And I'm like, I am frantic over this. Like, I don't like dealing with any animals, any kind of, like, wildlife. I don't deal with it. And so I'm like, Tony, out, out, out.
Out?
Yeah, that's what we tell him to drop. We're trying to tell him to drop something. And he looks at me like,
who? That's a weird thing. Drop something, you say out.
Yes.
What if you want him to drop something? What if
you say
he,
out?
What if you want him to go out? Do you say drop? Drop it?
Let's go pee pee.
Okay, pee pee.
Okay. And
the things we say to our dogs.
I know.
Let's go. I say, let's go potty. Go potty. Go potty.
So I'm like,
go
potty. Out, out. And he's like, who? Who? And then finally he drops it. And damn, oh
he's
my
holding
God.
The rat in his mouth?
In his mouth. And I was like, this is disgusting. And the rat starts playing dead. Like,
it's but it wasn't dead.
Very much alive because I saw it move and try to, you know, burrow itself right into the ground. And I'm like, oh my God, this rat is alive. I don't know what to do. I don't like. And so my neighbor is outside at this time. And I said, man, can you come help me? He's an outdoorsy kind of guy. And he's like, do you have a gun?
I was like, do you have a gun?
Dude, I don't have
no,
a gun.
I don't have
kill
a gun.
Damn
right.
Rat. So anyway, he comes over.
With a bow and arrow.
He comes over with a, I let him borrow a baseball bat, and he kind of just taps it to death. He doesn't put it in a pizza box and back it over like you would have done. But he.
That's such a good story. I'm going to tell that again in a minute.
But,
go ahead.
But he taps it to death with a baseball bat. And anyway,
all right, well,
that was
fine.
3 weeks ago. So my wife went to Vegas a little bit before I got there a couple weeks ago, and I found a dead mouse on the side of the shed.
Okay.
Separately. I did not tell my wife because I did not want to ruin her Vegas vacation.
Why would that ruin her Vegas vacation?
Because it's
a mouse in proximity?
Yes, but she would think we
mouse
have...
mouse in proximity of your house?
She would think we have an infestation of mice and rats, and that would ruin her life.
Did you? You had the rat people over yesterday.
Yeah, we had people over yesterday.
And what did they conclude?
No infestation or anything like that. I mean, you know, mice and rats live outside. That's very normal. You know, a couple houses down, I think they said that they had put some poison out in their yard. And what's what they migrate, right? That's what tends to happen. So pretty stressful, man. Marriage is kind of hard. And then she's all mad at me because I didn't tell her. I'm like, Sam, you know, she's like, well, if you won't tell me about a dead mouse in the yard, what will you tell me about? I'm like, you know, that I didn't want to ruin your vacation. Like, I was really, you know, sometimes I have to protect you. You know, right. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with protection?
Yeah, I've had some issues with transparency in a relationship
it's
recently.
It's not transparency. It is protection.
I should get better at transparency.
It is protection. It's like, I didn't want while you're in that pool party at Marquee, I didn't want you worrying about no dead mouse in the yard because it was just a little baby.
Right. That's know what it is though. It's you being patronizing
a good husband.
Of her is that she can't handle the truth. Basically, you're saying she can't handle the truth.
I didn't want to deal with it. From,
okay, so
800 miles away.
You're writing for a publication that shall not be named.
Yes.
You are writing about Memphis basketball recruiting.
Yes.
Just take me to the end of this. Last year at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what this is the way it would go. I'd say, yeah, but he's actually got to. I know he's in on these guys, but he's got to actually get them. He's got to get, like, it's great. He got Tyler, he got Alex, but he's got to get these top 10 guys. We think he's in on them, but is he going to get them? And you were assuring me at the time, stop with the panic over whether he's going to get them.
Yeah.
Sure enough, he got all of them.
All of them.
He basically got all of them.
I think Twisty Fresh committed.
And so Twisty Fresh even committed. So this time, who are you writing about for the publication that shall not be named?
I've written about Greg Brown, Jalen Green. I've written about Matthew Morrell. I've written about Jaden Springer.
But now currently
Chris
you're writing
Moore.
About... Currently you're writing about...
Currently I am in the process of writing about Kennedy Chandler, who, of course, is the hottest prospect
dude.
In America.
6'1". He's only like 6'1", isn't he?
Yeah, but like, honestly, all he's done this summer is dunk on people. That's it. Like, he plays much bigger than his height.
Okay, just tell me right now, so we can cut to the chase, what's their class going to look like?
Well, Kennedy Chandler is in the class of 2021. So he's only going to be a junior. So that'll be 2 years from
What's
now.
This class going to look like?
I think it's going to be
right now.
I think it's going to be a top three class in the country.
No. Who's going to be in it?
Oh, who's going to be in it? Yeah. Okay. Give me some wiggle room here.
I mean, understand that. This is all. Yeah. We understand that, you know.
Yeah, well, people, you know, I have credibility when it comes to this stuff, man.
You do, man. I will say, you nailed it. Some people don't take you seriously, but everything that you said that was going to happen with recruiting happened.
Thank you.
And your lighthearted exterior belies the serious recruiting analyst that lies beneath.
That's a great
everything
that's great.
You said was going to happened.
Yes.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. So I think that as of today, assuming Jalen Green goes to college, I think they get Jalen Green.
Woo!
He's a big guard. I think they get Greg Brown.
Woo!
Who is a top 10.
I got to stop making that noise. I sound like an idiot.
Top 10 forward in the country.
He's a rebounding, dunking machine.
I mean, I think they get Chris Moore, you know, who is, again, not a very...
What is he exactly? Chris, what would you call Chris
Moore? Chris Moore is like a...
He's a tweener.
He's a tweener who's going to do all the small things that add up. Like, you got to have a guy like that.
A glue guy.
I mean, it just is. Like, nobody wants to be a glue guy, you know, but...
Is that true? No one
somebody
wants to
has
be a glue
to
guy.
Be a glue guy, you know?
I consider myself here at the station kind of a glue guy.
Yeah. You know what?
You know who's the glue guy?
Who's that?
Right there, Jeffrey's the glue guy. No one wants Jeffrey Hasenfield to be a glue guy. Is it bad?
I tell you, it's probably the greatest honor of my life. I mean, that's what I've always wanted.
Glue guy.
I've always wanted to be, listen, no one waves a towel like I do. I've always just wanted to be a locker room guy.
Yeah, he's a perfect glue guy.
Being a glue guy is the worst.
But you know what? Much like Jeffrey, Chris Moore will get playing time. You know, like he'll do all the small things.
Jeffrey,
add up.
Jeffrey gets playing time.
He does.
There's no question. Jeffrey gets playing time.
I think he might lead the station in minutes. I'm not sure. We have to check on that.
I think since January
1. A lot of garbage time minutes.
I think since January 1, he leads the station in minutes.
Yeah, because he's doing this show. He's doing 4 hours a day.
He's doing 4 hours a day.
I'm
you
only
guys
doing
only
three.
Do three a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, exactly right. Plus, then he fills in for other people, too. Yeah, like, whatever. He's crazy. It's insanity.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, I think Chris Moore is part of it, and if he's not, I think that would just suggest that the staff went in a different direction. You know, Jaden Springer is going to be interesting because, you know, he's a guard, and, you know, if I'm saying Memphis is getting Jalen Green, which I believe they lead for him, you know, what's going to happen with Boogie, Lester, Tyler? You know, if all these guys come back, you're just not going to have that much room.
Right.
You know, like, and that applies for Matthew Morrell as well. You know, like, what's going to happen with Matthew Morrell? He's a local kid who's obviously an elite athlete and played his way into the top 50. Like, you know, what does he think about the situation? You know, is it one of those deals where,
Fandy.
You know, once upon a time, Jonathan Williams III and Memphis sat down with each other and they just decided it's not going to work. Like, it just, like, for you, for me, like, it's just not.
Memphis sat down with each other, right?
Yeah, and so I don't know if that's what happens with Matthew Morrell ultimately, but that'll be interesting to watch. So, but I think the nucleus of the class, like the two big time guys as of right now, and I'm pretty sure they just offered a JUCO kid named Jalen Scruggs. I want to say Scrub. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, unfortunate last name.
Right,
but
not a scrub though.
Not a scrub.
Jalen. Quote, Nada scrub.
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely be a guy.
Nada, I call him Nada.
That recruitment picks up, definitely feels like that is possible. So, but I think the nucleus.
Best JUCO player in America.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like a Memphis kind of thing, you know, like it just does.
No, I mean, if he'd been the 20th best new JUCO in America, that would have been like a few years ago Memphis thing. Now, best.
No, only the best now.
Best now.
Only the best now.
America.
So, I would say the nucleus would be like Greg Brown, Jalen Green.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show tomorrow morning beginning at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
High temperatures and humidity levels have your air conditioner working overtime. And we're working overtime, too, here at Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning to help you stay comfortable this summer. Whether your air conditioner needs routine cleaning, an emergency repair, or you're interested in saving money with a new higher-efficiency cooling system, Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning is the comfort company Memphians have trusted since 1970 for all their home or business comfort system needs. Call us today at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com.
Joe Stewart Body Shop is the best body shop in town. They've got the original location at 2916 Summer Avenue, and they've also got Joe Stewart Collision of Collierville, family-owned and operated since 1969. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Car Repair Shop for the last 5 years running. They're certified by Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Acura, and Honda, but they can work on any make or model. Take your car to Joe Stewart Body Shop, because taking your car anywhere else would be an accident.
you gonna come join me?
Yeah, I was just inside watching TV. I'm fed up with this nonsense. Protect the border already. Put our safety first.
Relax. You know Mark Baker. I was just reading here how he's taken a stand to uphold the rule of law.
Mark Baker?
Mark Baker, the former prosecutor and conservative judge.
This Mark Baker, is he a no-nonsense, throw-the-book-at-him conservative?
Yep. And Baker is standing with President Trump on securing the border and putting our safety first. He says our attorney general and law enforcement have to work with President Trump to get this done.
Law enforcement has to be decisive. No wishy-washy politician's going to cut it on this issue.
Listen, sheriffs and law enforcement praise Mark Baker. Tough on crime, stands with the president to protect us. Conservative.
Sweetie, I like what I'm hearing about Mark Baker.
Good. Now, darling, let's get this yard mowed.
Call Representative Mark Baker at 601-359-3388 and tell him to keep protecting Mississippi. Paid for by the Center for Individual Freedom.
Hey, this is John Martin. I'm back to tell you about my favorite spot in Memphis, the Blue Monkey. In case you've forgotten, and you shouldn't forget, they have great burgers, some of the best in Memphis, especially the barbecue bacon burger with black Angus meat topped with melted cheddar cheese, crisp bacon, and tangy barbecue sauce. And also, don't forget Steak Night every Tuesday at the downtown location and Thursday at the Midtown location. They offer a 7 or 10-ounce filet or 12-ounce and 16-ounce prime rib that is slow roasted and just plain awesome. On Steak Night, they also feature a choice of salad and a side. They got house-made ranch dressing and a twice-baked potato. I recommend both. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown and 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown. And find them on the web at BlueMonkeyMemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring a team and win some green. Live music at the Blue Monkey Midtown on Friday night. The latest on Saturday, Turnstiles.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.